Hello and welcome to Backchat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Have you ever been doing an exercise and thought, oh, I can really feel this, but is this okay? Or am I going to pay for it afterwards? Maybe this sounds familiar to you. Maybe we all have sensations, of course. And today we're going to be talking about how we actually interpret those sensations, especially when it comes to doing exercise. So it might be during exercise or afterwards as well. So that's our topic for today. And welcome everyone. If you are here live, very warm welcome. Feel free to join the chat. Feel free to ask any questions or comment on what I've been saying during the talk as well. And obviously those of you who are watching the replay afterwards, also feel free to leave me any comments. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. And for those of you who are completely new here, welcome. And we do these talks once a month, generally. Hi, Laura from Buenos Aires. And we talk about different things that are about scoliosis. And today, as I said, is about what does specific pain, what does it actually mean, and what do I need to do as a result? So let's get into this if you are ready. Let's get started with the type of sensations that you might be feeling. So feel free again to add to this. So this might be things like muscular effort. It might be just a feeling of kind of heaviness, achiness. It might be burning sensations. It might be stretch sensations or tension. It might be, sometimes it could be even tiredness or shaking. It could be pressure. It could be sharp pain. It could be dull pain. So we want to kind of start to give those sensations a little bit more of a nuance and give it a little bit more meaning in that way, a little bit more description before we start kind of panicking, obviously, and making any decisions, whatever that might be. So these are the things, first of all, kind of noticing what exactly it is that you're feeling, noticing as well, you know, what's happening with the breathing. Maybe you started holding your breath. Maybe you started to breathe a little bit quicker. Maybe your heart rate started to increase. I don't know if you heard that. My phone just went off, basically. So let's put this on do not disturb. Sorry about that. So yeah, and then obviously with what is specific to scoliosis are these sensations that might be different on one side to the other. So the sensations that always come up, what does always come up? And are they always in the same region? And the first thing we kind of want to disconnect here is that when we have a sensation, that there is something damaged. So we kind of want to disconnect ourselves from this because we know this, right? We've had pain, and then we realized afterwards, well, actually, nothing happened. Nothing is broken. Nothing is damaged. And we want to kind of think about it as something that is coming from the brain, which it is. And it's simply, if you think about it like a computer, you give an input information into your computer, and then you get an output, whatever that might be. So this is the same thing with our brain. And the output here in this case is pain, because something has been received by the brain. Brain has started to interpret this and felt like, well, this is a reason here to give you some pain. So I think once we start to think about it this way, and for me, this is really what made the biggest difference, to think about it that way, that it's not, pain is not kind of a direct thing that happens as a result. Sometimes it can feel like it. Obviously, if you cut yourself, there is damage and you probably get pain as well, right? So sometimes it can feel like that, but very often it's not actually as simple as that. And let's think about some of the inputs, what those inputs could be. This could be obviously your knife, or it could be the chair where you're hitting you're stabbing your toe on, or whatever. It could be something inside the body that is happening. It could be something from the outside. And it could also be, and this is very interesting, something that we expect to happen. So if we think something is going to be painful, it's much more likely to be painful as well. And I'm just thinking about, not my favorite place in the world, I'm thinking about the dentist. And I had at some point an experience which was very painful at the dentist. So since then, I've kind of gone into the dentist already expecting things to be painful. Until one day, the dentist said to me, actually, we're going to do this little bit of work here without any anesthetic. And I was like, what? What are you on about? This is crazy. It's obviously going to hurt. It's going to be terrible. How can you even suggest such a thing? Give me that injection and just so that I don't feel anything. And he was like, no, don't worry. Trust me. You look at the fish. There was like a little screen up there with some fish floating around. Look at that. Relax. He knew I was a yoga teacher. So he's like, do your yoga breathing, do your relaxation, and we can always stop. You can always have that injection if you need it. But most likely you won't, right? So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to try this. And it was kind of like a miracle, I have to say. So I had this little, it was just a little hole basically. So he did a little bit of whatever dentist work around there. And it was uncomfortable for sure. I did feel sensations, but did all my breathing and everything, and I did not feel any pain, because I kind of brought myself, my nervous system into this kind of a little bit more relaxed state. Now, had I been kind of not trusting this person at all, and had I been more kind of like, this is definitely going to hurt, it would have probably hurt a lot more as well. So this is just an example, basically, of how all these things can contribute. So if we are kind of expecting something to happen, what does this tell our nervous system? Right? The other things are fatigue, if you are tired, if you are stressed, if there is a lot going on in your life already, if you've got anxiety, if you've got lots of things that are already taking your nervous system into this state, then again, of course, it's much more likely to say, well, this this thing that is happening to you now, and now with that scoliosis and your back being a little bit wonky, I'm going to give you some back pain, basically, so that you start to calm down a little bit. This is another thing how you can think about it, right? What does this pain actually want to tell you? There might be a reason for it. So I don't nowadays see it as, I see it as a message. If you kind of reframe this a little bit and you think about, first of all, saying thank you, because pain obviously wanted to protect you. There is a reason for it. But then what is actually the underlying message here? What exactly is going on? So the good news is, hi, and I see lots of you joining here. So we've got Lauren from New Jersey as well. Good, lovely. So I'm just having a look at the chat, and feel free to let me know, how does this kind of come up for you? So that was just a little bit of background about pain. And let's come back to this idea. We've got these inputs, and that could be a variation of things. It could be emotional things as well, right? What has happened just before you did that exercise, or the months before the exercise? And then let's assume that output is obviously pain. So this gives us a little bit to experiment with. So it means that we could change that input slightly. So we can obviously think about what are the things that we can do to make things a little bit less threatening. And if we're talking about an exercise, for example, if something is kind of painful in the moment, or first of all, define what does painful mean, what are the exact sensations, and then how can I change that input slightly? How can I make this a little bit less threatening? And I say this in the membership, in the Shine membership, all the time, any amount of the pose is still the pose. Any amount or level of that exercise is still the exercise. So you can dial it right back if you wanted to, right? You can make it smaller. If a deep squat is painful, make it a little one, right? You're working towards it. What can you do to change this a little bit? And having said this is very interesting, I find. Because this is kind of from a yoga perspective. That is our first instinct, is to say, well, let's just reduce the range of movement a little bit. Make your pose a little bit smaller. But the other thing, and this is really what I've learned from Pilates quite a lot, is the other thing you can change is making things a little bit more difficult. And bear with me here. This doesn't mean like doing some crazy exercises or whatever. It just means changing the load a little bit. So have you ever noticed that maybe doing something with weights in your hands actually gives you more stability? Using a resistance band in some exercises, because it will take some range of motion out of it, it will make your muscles basically switch on, right? And switching your muscles on can sometimes give your brain that message to say, well, actually, now your joints are a lot more protected. Wow. So we've changed something. We changed the input, which then changed the sensation that we feel. And this is particularly important if you are on the hypermobile side, right? If you have hypermobility, which a lot of us with scoliosis is a condition of instability a lot of times. So instability comes also from that hypermobility. So too much movement, that makes your brain kind of think like, oh my goodness, she is not going to be able to hold herself up. She's probably going to fall over. let's give her some pain here. Now, if we then say, well, actually, we're going to give her some stability. Let's say you do your mountain pose, use a block in between your thighs, squeeze the thighs, and magically, it feels already a lot stronger. It feels more supported. And many times, this can mean we're feeling less pain. So this is just something that we can do. Obviously, other things that we can do is we can slow things down depending on what type of exercise you're doing. If you're doing something quite dynamic where there's movement involved, slow it down. Really paying attention to the thing that you're doing. And this idea of being mindful is so much more important than I ever thought. So again, I come from this from a yoga background where this is kind of second nature. Yes, you always pay attention to your movement. You breathe through your movement as well. But when I kind of learned a little bit more about clinical somatic movement, so the what Thomas Hanna is teaching about, it's called sensory motor amnesia that a lot of us are feeling, basically, where our brain has kind of lost a little bit of connection to certain parts of the body. And it's given you kind of chronic tension and chronic tightness in this area as well. And this can be a loop, right? You've got that tension and tightness. That itself is a threat. So then you feel more tension and tightness. And one of the ways out of this is a little bit of kind of contraction and releasing. This is the whole idea about somatic movements, but it's also being mindful. So really being present when you are there. And that's not just kind of a thing about let's be in the present moment and all of that. No, it's actually, you're actually teaching your brain that I'm here, I'm there, I'm supporting myself. And that can be super, super useful, especially if you are struggling with a lot of movements, or maybe kind of feeling scared of doing the wrong thing and doing too much. Good. So basically what we're doing is we're modifying what we're doing, which means we're changing the input. It doesn't always mean we just make things easier. Yeah, so I'm hoping that kind of has made sense here. Another thing that I have found personally really, really useful is the 5-breath check-in. And basically what this means is if you're doing something, unless it's like sharp, acute pain around a joint, that's the time when you want to change something. But if it's like, if you're doing something, let's say you're doing a bridge pose and you're like, oh, I can feel this in my lower back. Obviously, you can change that input already. You can change the position slightly. But what about if you pause right now and breathe? And I'm asking for 5 breaths. What happens? Does it make the, and this is especially, maybe bridge pose wasn't a great example. It's especially useful for things where you're like, where you're bringing your body into a position and then ask for it to be there for a while. And there, 5 breaths can be really, really useful because you will know in those 5 breaths, do the sensations get stronger or do they become softer and less? Because that in itself will give you information, right? If the sensations start to ease off, amazing, right? Because then you know this is your nervous system basically accepting the fact that this is safe, whatever you're asking it to do. And it's almost like, relaxing into it. And no, we don't have to kind of ring those alarm bells and give you pain. If it's kind of staying the same, if the sensations don't change, well, just keep observing, and then you can modify, right? What happens if I add more support, if I make it smaller, if I add maybe a little bit of load? And obviously, if it's becoming stronger in that time, that is definitely a signal that there is obviously something that we need to change. So basically, what I want you to take from this is, we don't judge straight away. We give ourselves a little bit more time. The other thing I'm asking people always, if they tell me, oh, this was really painful, I'm curious, especially if I know this, I wasn't asking them to do anything, you know, that was out of the ordinary and that wouldn't be happening in kind of day-to-day life as well. I would say to them, try it again tomorrow and tell me if you're feeling exactly the same thing. Because again, it could be that it wasn't actually the exercise. It was something else. It was whatever they've been doing before the exercise. It had nothing to do with what we were doing on the mat. So just kind of taking it out of context, what if you do it on another day, a different time of the day, whatever has happened before is completely different. Are the sensations completely the same? That will give you a lot of information as well. Good. How are we doing, everyone? Are we still okay? This is me going off on. I feel very, very strongly about this topic, and I find it absolutely fascinating. I have been struggling with back pain since my teenage years, so from a young age. So I'm still learning all the time, and I think for me, this idea has probably made kind of the biggest impact, I would say. Apart from the idea of, I'm going to take responsibility, right? I'm going to make it my problem and not everybody else's problem. But that might be a different back chat. Okay, so what do we do? You know, obviously what we can do, our options are, we continue whatever we've been doing, we modify it, or if we are completely lost and it's just not getting better, we need to seek advice, obviously. And some of the things where you're like, well, I want to know exactly when do I need to see my doctor and when do I need to see my physiotherapist. You kind of know, right? But things like tingling, numbness, which is interesting because it's almost like the opposite of a sensation. It's like no sensation. That's much more alarming than achiness, right? Loss of control is another one. And then obviously something like changes very drastically. That's another one where you might want to get things checked out. Okay, Kathleen is saying, I really like the 5-breath approach. I have noticed that concentrating on breathing does help when trying to hold a difficult pose. Yes, absolutely. And hopefully this makes sense now why this might be helpful. And I'm going to take, for those of you who've had children, I'm going to take labor as an example as well. What got me through labor with my 2 kids, and especially my first one, it was a long time, was breathing. And it was this kind of mental preparation, which I had done before, of at the end of the, you know, at the end of this, there's going to be a baby, right? It's the pain or sensations, let's call them sensations, let's not call them pain. They are part of this, and they are like waves in labor, and every wave gets you closer to your baby. Once you start to kind of reframe this, it's actually not that terrible, right? And you will get through it, and you kind of, you, especially the breathing, was really, really helpful. Okay, Lauren is saying, what about necessary chores? Yes, right? We want somebody else to do them for us. I agree, but sometimes we have to do them ourselves, like laundry with bending, lifting, reaching, and twisting. So what I would say to this, Lauren, is practice these movements on your mat. So think about how can you, and you know, once you start to make this connection, and I sneak them into my classes all the time, right? We do squats. That's like, you know, bending, basically strengthening your legs. If you add like a little forward bend, this is like picking something up from the floor. Now, if you have practiced them on your mat, you will notice, and if any of my Shine members are here, please let me know. I'm wondering if you have my voice in your head sometimes when you're doing things, you will start to notice them when you're doing something else. You're like, ooh, Christine would now say tuck your chin slightly in or something like that, right? They will become second nature. I love that, Lauren. Lauren is saying, think about the clean laundry, not as much incentive as a baby out. Well, this is slightly different, right? I think this is much more about changing that input a little bit, right? So think about your laundry. Yes, it is an incentive. It's all clean afterwards, obviously. But don't think of it as like we have to push through this. We just have to breathe through this. You are in much more control there rather than my labor example, right? There wasn't that much control in labor. That baby is going to make its way out, right? If you're doing your laundry, you have some say in this, how this is going to happen, right? You can take breaks. You can. The main thing is don't get stuck in a position, right? So if you're doing something, don't be in it for a long period of time. Even like me sitting now, you know, this is the time where I'm like, okay, I probably need to do a little bit of movement. When you're lifting something, can you do that with support? So can you use your core a little bit more? With scoliosis, the movements that are trickiest, in my opinion, are movements that are combined flexion and rotation. And then if you're adding something heavy in it, recipe for disaster and really, really difficult, right? So these are the type of things you want to, can I just turn around, right? And then pick things up. Do I have to do this type of thing? Sorry, my camera is starting to, I'm messing about too much. I'm moving about too much. But hopefully you get the idea, yeah? You might find different ways of doing things where you can actually do the movement mindfully. And this is kind of bringing me back to what I said before, to paying attention how you do things. Because it's the movements that cause the problems are the ones that we are not paying attention, right? Have you ever kind of done something like, oh, my back just went, right? Probably because you haven't been paying attention on how you were lifting that box or how you were doing this, right? Good. So I'm hoping that makes sense, Lauren, with So you still have to do those things. They're part of your day-to-day life, but you have some control of how you do them. And then you also have control over what do you do next, right? What do you do next? Do you do everything and then you just crash and you have to lie on the sofa? Or can you do a little bit, do something else, go for a walk, whatever, do a little bit, do something else, reset in between? Okay. Let's see if I can get myself back on track here. I've got lots of nice things to tell you. So we want to give it 5 breaths, but what we also don't want to do is judge something just in the moment, right? So not judging exercises, for example, in the moment. And I'm coming back here to exercise rather than the kind of day-to-day movements. We also want to notice, how does my body respond to it the next day? And there you can bring it back to your housework, Lauren. Like, you know this, right? You do all these things, you probably don't pay attention, and then the next day, you kind of pay the price for it, right? So I just had a private session, a one-to-one session with someone, and she was saying, I said, how is it going? How are you feeling? And she said, oh, not so great at the moment, because yesterday I've been sitting around all day. So she kind of made that connection of, I've been stuck in this position for long periods of time. So now I'm kind of feeling those sensations. And with exercises, it's the same thing in a way. You want to kind of notice, obviously, what happens when you're doing it, but then you also want to notice, how do you feel the next day? And I went on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and me and my husband, we signed up for the gym on holiday. And obviously, I went crazy. I should obviously know better than this. But I pretty much went every day and I was like, yes, I feel great. I feel really strong. And then one day, like 12 hours after the class, I felt terrible and I couldn't move. Right. So that was obviously a sign when my nervous system basically shut down and was like, come on, Christine, this is crazy. You're completely overdoing it. We're going to immobilize you for a while. So that you can calm down again and reset yourself. Yes, that's frustrating. It's really annoying, but I wasn't listening to my body, really. And it had no other option than to kind of give me achiness in my body and spasm in my back to tell me to back off, basically. It's a message, right? It's a message. That's all it is. Good. So we want to kind of, what is really useful is that you kind of build up your own little toolkit. And this is for things that you are obviously doing during the day. Maybe you've got an office job and you're sitting quite a lot. Maybe you like to do a lot of gardening, and maybe your back doesn't like that, right? It would be like, oh, we're in this contracted situation for long periods of time. Don't like it, so you're gonna be suffering with back pain. If you know what are those sort of things that are helpful, you're kind of building up your own little. Your own evidence. And this is so much more useful than me saying to you, do these 5 exercises and you'll be fine. Because I can give you things, obviously, that where I know it helps 80% of the people that I work with that have, or that I think helps you. But it's much more useful if you start to become so specific about your own nervous system that you start to notice what are the things that trigger that pain, actually. And Laura was saying earlier, she was saying stress is always a trigger for pain. It's not for everyone, some people kind of, well, they almost go the other way and they become kind of numb to it as well. But for a lot of people, it can absolutely bring your take your nervous system into overdrive. So what can you do in your little toolkit to make this a little bit more comfortable? Good. And then in that, when you're kind of going down that route, you're kind of moving away from, is what I'm doing actually safe for scoliosis? And you're going more towards, is it safe for me? And how does my body respond to this? Okay, Laura says, when pain flares up, lying flat on the floor is the first thing I do to start the resetting. Yeah, me too. And coming into gravity is a really, really good tool. Because you are, with our scoliosis, we have our pattern that is asymmetric. We are by our spine. Our spine is kind of dictating where we are. And then our muscles respond to that. They might take us further into this, adding on the force of gravity all the time. This is stressful for the body. Just to keep yourself upright is stressful. So lying flat on the floor, especially if you are then even more supported and supporting convex sides and have a little bit of a kind of tailored adjustment, that can be really, really useful as a signaling to your body, it's safe, it's okay. You're not going to fall apart. It's fine. These are just sensations. And I love this as well. But then again, having talked or having had my session with someone earlier today, she was like, I hate lying on the ground. I can't do it. It's really painful. So just because it works for one person doesn't mean that it works for another person. And there were, you know, she had a spinal fusion as well. So things are slightly different in her body as well. But we kind of have to find the things that are obviously comfortable for that individual. And that might just mean a little bit. One of the things that I like is, especially for people who don't like lying on the ground, it's called a reclining deck chair pose. But you're basically a little bit in a reclined position, but you have support with bolsters and cushions and everything. So you're not flat, but you're kind of more at a little bit of an angle. Because that brings you into a position that where your nervous system might be able to feel safe and relaxed. Okay, so I think that was a lot, wasn't it? Was that a lot? So Debbie is saying lying on the floor helps me so much and it feels good. Yes. And again, for most people, it does. But if you're now saying, well, oh, for me, this doesn't work, then, you know, we don't all have the same thing. And when we have our live classes in Shine, I give you a kind of a buffet of movement and things that we do that I have picked that I, with my knowledge and my experience, know that they are kind of safe for scoliosis and they are productive. We're working on stability, mobility, and all of that. But I can still have, you know, 15 different nervous systems, obviously, in the room. And when I get that feedback from people, then I usually say, well, this is great information, right? This is really, really good, because I know that you are now, you're paying attention, right? You're noticing what exactly is happening, and not everything will feel amazing. Not every movement, not every yoga pose is feeling amazing. I can't remember which yoga teacher it was, but there was one yoga teacher who said, my job is not to make you feel comfortable all the time. And I was like, whoa, I thought that was your job. But no, actually the gift was that I learned what are the things that make me feel more comfortable and what are the things that are not. And only I can do that for myself. It's not even another person, right? But obviously a yoga teacher can give you another perspective. They can see things, again, this is about input, that are maybe happening from the outside. So what I often do in the classes, I would give some suggestions of modifications, of alignment. Like if I see that, oh, maybe we can get a little bit more length and stability out of this, then I can influence this input as well a little bit. But then obviously as a yoga student, it's your job to monitor what's going on, monitor those sensations. And also the more you do it, the more you learn how you can actually change that input as well. And I think that's when this becomes really, really exciting and really useful, rather than saying, oh, I need to do those five things every single day, because you can make it really, really super specific when you learn more about your individual nervous system as well. Good. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to me. I always really, really enjoy these chats. If you're now thinking, oh, I would love to come to some live classes, we actually have a sale in the Shine membership starting on Monday. For those of you who want to join Shine Plus, wait until Monday. There'll be a discount then if you want to try it out. And it's just a really, really nice way to connect with some other people as well who are going through the same thing. We always have a little chat before the class, after the class. You can ask questions as well. And I've been told it's been really, really useful to hear other people's experiences as well. Not just me kind of talking about it, but other people, different perspectives, and just kind of exchanging what's helping and what's not helping. So there you go. That's it from me. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And I will see you next month. Bye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.